Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour. Heading into the weekend, thought we'd give you a quick news update. This is going to be in two parts. Coming up a little bit later on, you may know him from the Bachelor in Paradise and Challenge reality recap show. Paul Shaughnessy will be in studio as a, not fantasy expert, but as a guy that plays in a lot of leagues and has some questions. So maybe your general overview and some questions that maybe if you've been enamored with fantasy football for the last 2 months, maybe you don't have. But if you're a new player or a player that's not doing this 24 hours a day, every single day of the week, some questions that you may have. But first, for those of you who are paying attention, we have some news updates, Chris Meany, and some rankings adjustments to go through. And I want to start with Jeremy Langford, a guy that Mike Clay killed in the preseason. Yeah. I've been down on him as well, but after seeing him through two preseason games, it's not really the production that I care about, because some guys look really great in the preseason. That's not necessarily going to translate. But as Adam Levitin pointed out, he's been doing some great work with like first team snaps, playing with the starters. He's played 36 of 39 snaps with the first team. And that's important, because the biggest knock on him, for me at least, was that he was going to be in a split right away with Jordan Howard. It doesn't look like it's going to be that way. So I've moved him up from running back number 31 to running back number 24. That's one spot behind Carlos Hyde, one spot ahead of Duke Johnson. Again, that's PPR scoring. But I think he's on that level of starting running back that, you know, I don't love.
Yeah.
But it gets to the point where you might just take him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reports out of camp right now with Jordan Howard is that he's on the bubble. Like, they're not going to cut this guy, but he's going to be behind the eight ball right away. Doesn't know the playbook. He's rookie. Who else they have there? Kadeem Carey, Chris Rogers. Like, that's a joke. So Langford, I like him too. Like, I don't love him. And yeah, and I understand the Mike Clay hate and the 3.6 yards per carry last year. That's what people don't like. But again, this is the volume and opportunity from him.
And that was the biggest thing that I was scared about, that he wouldn't get the volume.
He's going to get it.
And that's why he's now on the level. It goes C.J. Anderson, Carlos Hyde, Jeremy Langford, Duke Johnson, Ryan Matthews, Jeremy Hill. Guys that are expected to get volume.
Yeah.
I mean, for Duke Johnson, obviously he's there for PPR purposes. Jeremy Hill, you don't know the workload week to week that he's going to get. C.J. Anderson, Carlos Hyde, you do expect them to be in the mix a little bit. So I think that's the tier that he needs to be on. He's not a target for me, but he's not a player that I'm going to avoid.
No, you shouldn't avoid him. And especially if you do go wide receiver, maybe you go wide receiver again. You can get this guy in the fifth round as one of your running backs who's going to get a lot of volume. And he can catch. He was startable last season. He was startable when Forte went down and a lot of injuries. It was in the Buck Allen, the Sean Drone range. You were able to start these guys and have productive weeks. So I'm with you. He should move up the ranks a little bit. And I think he's going to be a big part of their offense.
You know who people are moving way up the ranks?
Yeah.
RG3 and Terrell Pryor.
I'm moving RG3 up. Slightly.
Would you rather have RG3 or Tannehill? Because that was the decision I had to make in my rankings. I was like, well, I probably still would take Tannehill.
Yeah, so I have Tannehill as like quarterback 20 and RG3 21. I need to see a little bit more from RG3, but what I really liked about him, I talked about this on FST, I went into his 2012 numbers, and certainly that was a great season.
Yeah.
A lot has happened since then. But he threw for 3,200 yards. He had 20 touchdowns, 5 picks. He had 800 yards on the ground. He had 7 rushing touchdowns.
I wouldn't expect
that to repeat itself. The following year, he played in fewer games, had the same amount of yards, fewer rushing yards, and then we started to see him get hurt, and then there was the next year he was hurt. Remember, this guy didn't play at all last season, not because he was hurt, because he wasn't well-liked, and he didn't want to be, like, he just, Gruden was like, you're not playing, and straight up, I'm not playing you, I don't like you, whatever it was. He said that he didn't have a future in Washington.
Well, he had gotten
married. He
got married and then, like, didn't play anymore, and now he's getting divorced. He's going full anti-Tiger.
Yeah.
So whatever happened to Tiger, Robert Griffin is reaping the benefits on the opposite side. But people are like freaking out about Terrell Pryor, and he looked really good
in the preseason. He did look really good.
But again, this is the preseason.
This is the preseason.
And the big thing that it shows to me is that Griffin's deep ball is looking really good. His connection with Gary Barnage, I moved Barnage up to my tight end number 11, I believe it is.
Yeah.
That was up from 16. I had moved Ladarius Green down, obviously, when I did my update. But I think this bodes well for Josh Gordon,
Absolutely.
Not necessarily Terrell Pryor. Gordon's not playing right now, and the type of routes that Pryor is running are the Josh Gordon routes
exactly.
We expect him to get, and we expect Josh Gordon to be a better receiver than Terrell Pryor.
Of course, and if we love Josh Gordon, and we should, we like where he's going, you know, you don't really have to necessarily reach on this guy. He's going to miss the first few games of the season, but
this could bump down his ownership, though, because people are like, oh, Terrell Pryor's just going to start, not Josh Gordon.
That's what I was going to say. This could help where he goes in drafts. I mean, you got Coleman there as well. Barnage. You got Duke Johnson in the backfield. What I liked about RG3 watching Thursday night is that he moved around a bit. He was running. He three attempts, 36 yards on the ground. That's why we like RG3. You're not going to draft him as your QB1, but if you want to go to the strategy where you're taking Tom Brady and you need to fill out and maybe you just miss on a couple guys that you thought you were going to get, RG3 is not bad, at least to start off. Week 1 against Philadelphia, it's a leaky defense. That could work out for you in two quarterback leagues. I have no problem with him being my number two quarterback. I like where it's going right now, and I like the weapons. He has some nice weapons around him. So I'm in RG3, and I think people are he's going to jump up even more if we see preseason three. He has a good game.
I suppose so. I don't want to overreact too much to the performances, but I do like what I see so far in terms of skills. It seems like the deep ball, if he can continue to be accurate with that deep ball, it bodes well for either Coleman or Gordon, or maybe it is Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rank him super highly.
No, I'm not either.
I think I have him as wide receiver 68 or something like that. I'm not going to go out of my way to get him. No. Some people will. I think that's a mistake. But Gordon, really, I can lock into. And if you can get Coleman for a suppressed value right now, just where he's not playing, I think that might be a nice move. In the 9th or 10th round, and hope to see if it works out.
It was a nice throw from him. It was a real
the
nice
one
throw
he threw to Barnage too was nice too.
Yeah, Barnage was nice as well.
Deion Lewis, still have him ranked in the same spot. He's expected to go for Week 1, but now the reports are coming out. Obviously, he's not off the list yet. He's not going to be practicing during the preseason, and the reports are it's to save him for the season. Which I'm good with.
Yeah, you should be good with that.
But I understand why people might not want to take him.
Yeah, because it is a little bit of a risk.
It's risky.
It is certainly risky. I like him, and I loved what I saw in the first 8 weeks of the season. I know he went down Week 9. PPR formats, he was awesome. It was just,
Even in standard,
he was fine. They are being very, very cautious with him, and I think it's warranted. They should be. They don't need to rush him out there. They know what he is, but I think people are going to shy away from him because of the fact that Brady's not going to be around, because of the fact that we may not see him at all in the preseason, and I think you get him at a better discount. And if he falls down even more, then I like that. Because I don't want to – earlier, I think you and I even, at the start, a couple weeks ago, we were like, oh, this guy, potentially be top 10 RB.
I still think he is going to be a top 10 running back in PPR formats.
So you don't want to draft him there, but he's falling down a
little
bit, where it's certainly fine to take that risk. If you're not taking that risk in the first 3 or 4 rounds and he's falling to the 5th and 6th, then, why not take a shot on a guy that we've seen be a top RB in PPR formats, especially for me.
The way that I look at it, right now he's still inside my top 30 overall, my top 10 at running back. I haven't moved off that stance. Objectively speaking, I think that he finishes with more points than Lamar Miller. I don't like Lamar Miller, but and I know I'm kind of out on an island on that in this particular take, but the difference is Lamar Miller you need to take at the swing pick in the first round. And like you mentioned, last 3 drafts that I've seen, Deion Lewis is going in the 5th round.
Yeah.
So knowing where people are going again and using them with the rankings can help you build a lot of value at the top. It's more of a point that I like Deion Lewis and you can wait, and I don't really like Lamar Miller and I won't be ending up with him. But at the same spot, if I'm in the 3rd round knowing Lewis is going to fall, I'll take Jeremy Maclin instead.
I like Lamar Miller, but I liked him a couple weeks ago when I was getting him midway through the 2nd, and now you're right. He's going at that swing pick. A couple of mocks, he was going 10th overall. That's a little high. But in the 5th round for Deion Lewis, why not?
Exactly.
Why can't...
Look at the guys that you're picking in the 5th round anyway.
Exactly. You're just rolling the dice on some of these guys. There's a lot of mediocre backs in this situation. You pick him in the 5th with Brady and that offense. We know how good because we saw that sample size and was big enough. It was half the year. We saw a big enough sample size to know that Lewis can be a top 10 back.
Yeah, even if you pick at you can kind of risk this one a little bit. I tried it and it worked for me once in 3 times that I've done it, picking from the 9, 10, 11, or 12 spot, is that you can get Lewis and Foster at the end of the 5th, beginning of the 6th. And if you go 0 RB, that's the type of upside at running back that you're looking for. Now, you're going to need to take other guys along the way, like Jonathan Stewart in the 9th round.
Sure.
That's where he's going.
Yeah, sure. Why
that's
not?
Fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Just take him and be safe about it. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
But you built in some upside to your running backs, and that's what I like right now. Yeah. Christine Michael is a running back. People are all in. I moved him up initially last week after the strong performance, and it's clear that he's going to be the number 2 there. I'm not buying it full steam ahead. I still think that Rawls is going to be the guy. He's just not practicing. And the latest reports is that he may not play Week 3 of the preseason, but he'll be good to go full practice by next week, which is very encouraging to hear. So he's going to remain, I think he's my running back 15, 16, something like that. Again, not really a target for me based on where he's going, but a guy that if he falls 5, 6, 7, 8 picks maybe around, then I will be in on him. The thing with Michael is I did move him up again. He's more in that class of backup. Solidified backup guy, like James Starks, Spencer Ware, Devontae Booker, Christine Michael, Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon. I actually moved Jerick McKinnon ahead of Jordan Howard. So Michael, McKinnon, Howard, Sean Drawn, Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I think that's the range where he needs to go. If you draft Christine Michael expecting to be able to start him, that's not going to be the case.
No, it's not going to be the case. I'm fine with where he's going with the names that you mentioned. I'm actually... It's funny, over the past 3 years, there's been so much hype on this guy, and I think that I'm more into him than I ever was now, is because I saw that little bit of a sample size last season in three games where he was just shy of 200 yards. He did absolutely nothing in Dallas. He looked pathetic. But when he went to Seattle, just a lot of the talk with Pete Carroll was just like, this guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's a new guy. I think he realizes that. I think maybe everything was just going to be handed to him about 3 years ago. Like, oh, the hype is on. He's going to be so fantastic as a back, and he just didn't really show it. But now he seems to be trying to prove himself, and he's running really, really hard. I do think that Thomas Rawls is the guy that people should target. He's the one that you want to start. But where he's going right now, I mean, you have him just, you know, RB 47 roughly. If he's going RB 50, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, why not do that?
Why not take the chance? Spencer Ware is the one that I kind of like of that bunch, though, because I think it's been very clear
that he's
throughout the preseason that he has moved ahead of West.
Yeah.
If something happens to Charles, which, you know, hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah, but
some
it certainly
the,
could.
Some of the drafts that I've done so far, taking a lot of Jamal Charles,
yeah,
that Ware is an essential guy to have, I think, on your team, whether you have Charles or not. It's almost like D'Angelo Williams last year.
Fair.
That's the sort of role he could play on that team. So just even as a bench running back, if you don't have Charles, if Charles goes down, you could find yourself with an RB1 all of a sudden for a guy that cost you literally no draft capital.
Yeah, and Ware did a fine job last season when Charles went out. So I can get behind that too, the Ware pick. For me, like... I think Michael might. I think it's going to be like a split to start, and really it's going to be like, which guy is it going to be in the first few weeks? Pete Carroll's going to be like, you guys go. It's a 1-2 punch. There's been reports it's been a 1-2 punch. It's going to be one. And if it's Michael who's better than Rawls, then it may turn into a 60-40 or 70-30. But Rawls, to me, he needs to get on the field before the season starts. I can't be drafting him as like RB 15-17 if I don't see him get on the field.
Yeah, I might have to move Rawls back down to that like Latavius Murray range
a little bit.
I have him just ahead right now, but he's on that tier.
Yeah.
So whatever guy from that tier that you like is the one that you should probably take. Like, he's on the Langford's at the low end of that tier. Rawls is at the high end of that tier for me in the rankings.
Speaking of Murray, what do you think of these reports? Like, Jack Del Rio says he's going to get more touches. I think he was third in the league in carries and fourth in touches. Like, he can't get more than that, can he?
I'm just buying DeAndre Washington stock. That's
all
I'm doing.
Same. I'm into that.
That's
well.
All I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm you can get him in the 14th round. Just
I know.
You have Latavius Murray. I'll take Jonathan Stewart and someone else
later. There's certainly some upside with Washington, too, and he looked really good in that preseason game.
He did. Right?
Yeah.
Jermaine Kearse, not Tyler Lockett, was the Seahawks receiver playing in two wide receiver sets. Now, they'll probably play a lot of three wide receiver sets, as Jimmy Graham is, who knows.
Yeah.
But that's interesting to me, and it might limit the snap count that Lockett might get. And I haven't really bought into the overwhelming Lockett hype that a lot of people have, but I do think that he is very viable. But I think this kind of reveals that maybe Jermaine Kearse is a bit more valuable than we thought.
We talked about this before. Pat, you brought this up. I think it was with me, you, and Jake Seeley, and we were talking about just the sets at Pete Carroll, like he runs out there. Sometimes it's like Lockett is fantastic, and you think that he should be on the field, and it's Kearse is on the field, and Lockett's sitting on the sideline. So I'm into Lockett, too. I think he's skilled. He's awesome down the stretch. He was really, really good. I believe at least 7-plus targets in 4 straight games down his last 4 games. He got a touchdown in the playoffs. He made some really nice plays. But where he's going, like wide receiver 34, 37, that is concerning to see something like this. But I do think at the end of the day, Lockett is the guy who jumps in front.
Lockett is the guy that's going like wide receiver 34, whatever.
Yeah.
But in drafts, he's going higher than that.
Because people are reaching.
Because there's always one or two guys very willing to reach on Tyler Lockett.
And I won't reach on
And I won't reach on him either.
I'm with you. And people shouldn't. People shouldn't reach on Tyler Lockett. He's not going to be – he doesn't have the upside to be like a top 15, top 20 wide receiver. It's Bolden. Baldwin's a guy there. He's going to get all the looks. He's going to get the majority of the targets. And who knows about Jimmy Graham?
Last guy I want to talk about before we get out of here in terms of news, Tyler Boyd.
I'm into this guy, man.
I didn't move him in my rankings. He was at wide receiver number 48. He's going to remain at wide receiver number 48. That's 107. So I was a bit – and we talked about this with Jake. Jake kind of sold me on Boyd as the situation, the talent, what he can do in that offense. So I just have him where I have him.
Yeah.
But he's looking like a pretty good – right now, and he's playing the limited snaps, he could be a guy that gets you like 6 for 66 every week.
Yes.
With the potential for a really big play. Yeah. And that's very valuable in PPR formats.
Especially, like, I'm pretty sure, well, we've talked about it, FSC, Fantasy Football Calculator, has him, like, wide receiver 60 or something. I think in the Fantasy Cup, I was looking at your computer, he went, like, round 12. Did he not? Like, roughly round 12?
That's around where he's going.
Why wouldn't you draft this guy at round 12? I think I would do that every single time. I feel like I'm going to have a lot of Tyler Boyd. I mean, no Eifert there at the start. LaFell is
not very
good.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is a better value pick? Do you think that Tyler Lockett in the fourth round or Tyler Boyd in the 12th round?
Yeah, Tyler Boyd in the 12th round.
I think so, too.
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, you mentioned there's been a lot of reports about him lining up in the slot. AJ Green is going to get his, but
Boyd played on the outside last night. LaFell is out.
LaFell
is out. And that could change, but that's still encouraging to see him on the outside.
Absolutely. And LaFell, we talked about him before, one good year with Tom Brady. Do we expect him to be fantastic this year? No. Sanu is gone. Eifert is not ready to start. What if he has a setback? And he's gone for, instead of 2 weeks, he's gone for 4 weeks or 5 weeks.
Targets have to go somewhere
targets
on that team.
Have to go somewhere
no Sanu,
on
no,
that team.
No Jones, no Eifert.
Exactly.
Like, someone needs to be able to receive.
He had a 47-yard catch in week one of the preseason. He had a touchdown in week two. So I'm into Boyd. I think there's some tremendous upside. Definitely where you have him is where I would take a shot on him, wide receiver 48.
What do I do with Darrell Green Beckham?
Oh, man.
I still have him ranked inside my top 100 at number 91 right now.
Yeah.
Do I have to move him down?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. It's funny, like that FSCA draft about a month ago, he was wide receiver 37 taking off the board. The hype was like for real with this guy.
I was buying him. Man, I like Darrell Green Beckham.
I think he...
I like the concept of Darrell Green Beckham more than I like Darrell Green Beckham.
Right. And you know what? You know, Philadelphia, a lot of the voices in the locker room, like the head coach is Doug Peterson saying, you know, this kid has something to prove. It's Tennessee already gave up, you know, their pick. He was drafted in the second round. He's wide receiver 8 taken in that draft. Aguilar was wide receiver 4, so the Eagles have both. Aguilar had a couple nice plays yesterday where he made a really nice catch, and then he go right to him right in the slot after, and he just drops it. So there's an opportunity for him to be a part of this offense if Aguilar can't take that next step. Reports out of camp is that Reuben Randall is probably just going to get cut, that he doesn't want any part of even being on the field. He won't run routes. He won't block. So a lot
why?
Of,
why?
I don't know. Like, but a lot of the Philadelphia beat writers is like, this guy cannot try harder to not be here. Like, he does not want to be here. He will not run a route. He will not block. So he's just not getting a lot of love. So it's not like Darrell Green Beckham has a lot of competition to work with. Yes, we know Jordan Matthews is going to be a big part of the offense. So is Ertz. But I think Green Beckham over time, he wasn't on the field yesterday, but I think over time, get some reps into him if he really shows that he wants to be a part of this offense and really take himself seriously, because a lot of the talk has just been like he's inconsistent, he's not willing to learn. There's an opportunity for him to be the guy. I think it's just going to be slow. If he drops down a lot, you can take a flyer on him, but I wouldn't take him as like a top 50, a top 60 wide receiver.
So let me ask you then. Right now I have him with, it goes Aiken, Snead, DGB, Shepard, DeSean Jackson. Obviously he needs to come out of that tier.
Yeah.
So does he go ahead or behind, let's say, Tyler Boyd?
He goes behind Tyler Boyd.
Ahead or behind Torrey Smith?
Behind Torrey Smith. And I'm not into Torrey Smith.
Neither am I.
People will say this guy's going to have all the opportunity. He had all the opportunity last year. He still didn't do anything with San Fran.
Sammy Coates?
I'd rather Coates. There just seems to be more upside with Coates.
But he's another guy. We even saw it. Like, guy can't run routes.
I know, and dropped a bunch of balls again last night. Like, he showed flashes where he looked okay, and then again, he's just like, this guy's going to be given an opportunity, but is he going to be able to do anything with it? I don't think so.
I think I would still rather gamble on the offense that Coates is in over someone like Beckham, who might have the better, I don't even know if he has better raw skills, but he might.
Yeah. And
but I think that's the range. Too. Just behind there is where DGB is going to go. You can check out rotoexperts.com or sportsgrid.com or the Fantasy Sports Network ticker for all the updated rankings and where I decide to put them all updated. It'll probably be updated by the time that this actually comes out.
Absolutely.
And people see it. But anyway, Chris Meany. Check him out on Twitter at Chris Meany, host of Fantasy Sports Today, which is now live every day at noon on the Fantasy Sports Network. How's that going?
It's going pretty good. You know, on Thursday and Wednesday, our guests were showing up just a couple minutes late. And we thought
that's
Ashley
not good on live TV.
Ashley and I were going to wing it, but the guests been pulling through. We've had some good people. We're going to release like an FSC draft guide. You're going to be on there when you release your top 150. We're going to have a lot of stuff. So look for that at rotoexperts.com in the next few days.
Cool. All right, coming up next, Paul Shaughnessy is going to be taking the Meany spot, and we're going to be talking about some very general questions that people who maybe are not immersed in fantasy football, you know, completely, you know, like 75% of the way in, some questions they might have coming into the season. Stay tuned. Get back to talking football with Paul in a second, but first, let me tell you about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, which proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Do you hate searching through stacks of old files or paperwork? With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Now, more football, more importantly, more me and Paul.
Welcome back to the Pat Mayo Hour. Now, we've kicked Chris Meany out of the booth, and we have Paul Shaughnessy, my co-host on the Challenge and Bachelor shows. But we're going to be talking about some fantasy football because you got some drafts coming up.
I do have a draft coming up.
And you,
at least one. There's only one league that I've had for a few years.
And that's your keeper league?
Other ones kind of come and go. There's usually a Fight Network league that I join, and I actually do pretty well in that one against a bunch of people who don't know what they're doing, so that's pretty fun.
How far into football research would you say you are?
Basically little to no research whatsoever. Basically just watching for, you know, I see articles pop up. I see some Pat Mayo. I listen to the odd Pat Mayo Hour podcast.
That's a lie.
I've been basically, once my league opens back up and all the players are there, that's when I start really scouring.
So how has that not happened yet?
I don't know. Yeah, the commissioner's dropping the ball.
How soon is this draft? Like 2 weeks?
I guess so.
It would have to be.
Got to get on it. It's a keeper league too. I don't even remember who's on my team. I know I have a few guys. It's going to come down. You get to keep two or three people. I should really know all of these things. That shows how much of an amateur I am at this.
All right, so hit me up with some questions that you have coming into the season. I gave you my rankings list, something that appears to be odd to you that may have changed from last year to this year.
There's
besides the funny names on the sheet.
What about Gronk?
Yeah.
And the fact that Brady's gone for the first four games. How much does that affect him?
It's a difficult question.
Because I see he's pretty high up. There's lots of guys Jordy Nelson was injured last year. He could be a top five wide receiver if everything kind of works out.
So with Gronk, a lot of the rankings that I do, because I still have Bell ranked super highly too, and he's still expected to miss the four games to start the season, I'm more concerned about the overall production week to week, especially towards the end of the season for these guys. But obviously Gronk is not as high as he was in years past. And even with Garoppolo, I don't think that Garoppolo is a stiff. You know what I mean? He's obviously not Brady. Better looking than Brady, weirdly enough. Somehow the Patriots have cornered the market on good-looking quarterbacks. But you'd think that a quarterback with not a ton of experience would lean towards probably his best pass catcher, his biggest pass catcher, especially in the red zone. So I don't think he'll put up the same numbers as he would with Brady, but I don't think that he's just going to fall off the face of the earth.
So at this, what ranking is Gronk?
I believe
here?
That's 15.
So if you get a good wide receiver, say you get...
He's going higher than that, I will say.
Is he?
Based on ADP. He's still a fringe first-round pick, second-round pick. I'm not ending up with
Gronk. So if you get, I don't know, a bunch of those wide receivers are actually kind of questionable. Dez, how good is Dez going to be
Dez looks fine.
Yeah. Allen Robinson, he just got a bunch of touchdowns last year. We just don't know.
He had a bunch of yardage, too. He had, 1,400 yards.
Basic rule of thumb is just follow the yards, isn't it?
I would
for
say,
consistency, because touchdowns are going to go up and down every single year.
I think that's true, but I'd say I'd follow the receptions more than I'd follow the yardage.
Okay.
I feel week to week with targets.
Depends on what you're playing, though. If you're playing standard.
Yes. If you're playing standard, it's a little bit different, but if you follow the receptions, there should be yardage attached to those receptions. Targets in general, and just market share. So who's a guy on their team that's going to get a lot of targets? Generally, that translates into fantasy points, I find.
Is Devontae Freeman a fraud?
Everyone says so. I kind of
because he sucked, and then he was incredible for four, five, maybe six games last year, and then he kind of regressed.
So
mid-season,
I think he's a player that really depends on the type of league that you play in. So if you play in a PPR league, I like him better than I like Gurley and Elliott, and that range of running back.
You like him more than Gurley
in a PPR? Yeah, I think he's probably going to lead running backs in receptions again.
Yeah, but The Rams have nobody.
Yeah, that's not great, by the way.
But they're just going to be feeding him the rock constantly.
When you look at the second half of games last year, when they were down, towards the end of the season, and maybe it's because he was dealing with an knee
rookie
injury.
Rookie quarterback.
Yeah, the fact that they're not
here
a good...
Here you go, Todd. Here you go, Todd.
Sure, he might get a lot of volume. I don't think it's going to be terrific volume.
If they're
though.
Down by a lot, they're going to have to chuck the rock.
They're
right?
they're going to have to. And, like, he's not an integral
They have a good
part.
Enough defense, though, don't they? Or did they lose a bunch of defense?
Yeah, their defense is fine, but, like, their offense looks historically inept.
Yeah.
And they still enjoy doing, like, reverses to Tavon Austin.
Because
like,
that's all he can do.
And, like, Johnny Hecker fake punt plays. Like, they're the weirdest team in the world.
I have been screwed by Tavon Austin so many
times. Yeah, so
times.
Has everyone.
I've had so much high hopes for him. He's just like, this guy is so athletic. You want him on your team. But he just never pans out. Nobody passes to him.
Put it this way. I think I'm far more down on Gurley than people seem to be. I would have him as, like, probably my number four running back in standard leagues. He'd be on the same par as Jamaal Charles for me in standard leagues, maybe even a little bit higher, because you're right. He is going to consistently get the ball, but I just don't know in PPR leagues if he breaks, like, 35 catches. And if there are other running backs like Freeman who could potentially get 80, like, those are free points.
Well, why is Rawls so far down?
Christine Michael, man. He's still not. He still hasn't seen
Oh, my God. Christine Michael. Every fantasy expert has just, like, mental hand jobs for this guy. Like, they just love Christine Michael.
So here's
He's never done anything.
I agree.
Everyone just agree.
I agree.
All the fantasy experts are just in love with this dude. I don't get it at this point. It's been, like, 4 or 5 seasons, it feels like, at least, that this guy has just been... Oh, Christine Michael's there. Oh, did Christine Michael go to Dallas? Oh, Christine Michael went to Dallas. Oh, no, watch out. He does nothing. He probably sucks.
He's looked good.
He's not going to steal the job.
He's not going to steal the job, but Rawls hasn't practiced yet, coming off the ankle fracture.
Okay.
So that's concerning.
He was awesome, though.
I know. And right now I have him ranked, as I just talked about this with Meany, he's going to drop down to that, like, Latavius Murray tier. I'm actually going to move him down a little bit more. It's just he might end up in a split. At least to start the season, I still think he's fine. He's the running back that you want to own in Seattle, but there are question marks around his job. Like, he could end up back week one. He might not even end up back week one. We don't know yet. It's just been so confusing what to do with him because he's been hurt.
I'm not touching Christine Michael.
Listen,
I want
you
nothing
to
do with Christine
Someone
Michael.
In your league will reach on Christine Michael. Don't worry.
Who else we got here?
Are you surprised by the amount of runner at wide? I guess you've known my rankings.
I know your rankings for a while. I know kind of how this stuff kind of plays out. Deion Lewis will be interesting. You think he could be a steal in terms of the draft position you have there if he comes in? Those first four games, he could be really hot as well. This is my mindset. He could be really hot with Brady out, as long as they have a bit of a lead over, you know, when they have Garoppolo in. He could be good trade bait, maybe.
I think I like him with Brady more. I have him ranked way higher than everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, I have him ranked, I think that's number 28 overall. I don't have the numbers right next to me. But he's going in, like, the end of the fourth, middle of the fifth round. And I would be – that's where I want to take him. But, again, he – almost like Rawls, he hasn't seen the field yet either.
Yeah.
Coming off the ACL injury. But they're saying that he's fine, and they're just saving him for the regular season. But, again, this is the Patriots, so you never know, right?
Is Jeremy Langford the only running back in Chicago?
It appeared like there was going to be a split between him and the second-round rookie they took, Jordan Howard. But so far through the preseason, he's played 36 of 39 snaps with the first team. Like, he's getting all the work, so I had to move him back up.
You don't like Devontae Parker. I've seen a lot of love for Devontae Parker.
I mean,
the problem is Tannehill is, sorry, Garion, so average. So average that you just, and there's a lot, they have a lot of targets there now. They have a lot of people to throw to in Miami right now. There's so many people that I think that it's just spreading the wealth. He may be really, really talented, but he's got a very average quarterback, and he has too many other targets around him.
So Parker is on the same level as, like, Tyler Lockett, who is a super high buzz guy. John Brown is right there, too, and, like, Emmanuel Sanders. That's, like, wide receiver 29, 30, 31, 32, your wide receiver 3. I just think he has a lot of potential touchdown upside. Like, they keep trying to throw to Jarvis Landry in the red zone. Never works.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he ended last season, it does show that they have a bit of a rapport. I think he could kind of break out where I have Landry a lot lower than people. I think he takes a bit of a step back.
I'd rather wait a round or two and get, like, Hurns.
People like Hurns more than I do. He's going higher than that. I'd say their average draft position is probably flopped where I have them in the rankings. But you want to talk about a guy that did nothing but score touchdowns. That was Allen Hurns. Get 10 touchdowns. Like,
it's true. Actually, that's very, very true. I read a couple articles this week about how you should follow. I'm going to try it in my one league. You follow the yardage.
Okay.
because yardage is at least consistent. Now, you use the, like when you're clicking, when you're online, click the yardage, and then you can look at other people based on injuries, and you can look at things like, you know, upside or different situation or a better situation for them, but those yards are typically pretty consistent.
If you had the first pick, who would you take?
On well, in my keeper league.
Just in, if you were just like in the fight network lead, you would take Brown?
Yeah, of course.
Would you take the receivers right after that, Julio and Beckham? Would you think you should take a running back?
I think I would take Julio. Just gets injured.
Not really, though. No. He doesn't.
I've had him before and he got injured.
So you had him like 2 years ago when he got hurt.
I know.
He's been fine since. You want to follow the yardage, you follow Julio Jones. Guy does nothing but get yards.
It's true, and he's without doubt the number one guy. And there was a period of time when they had Roddy White, and it was kind of a bit of a split, but
that was like 4 years ago.
I know. I've been playing for a long time. My memory, it all just kind of melds into one, Pat. But, yeah, like I would go for Julio and Beckham. I'm not convinced by maybe I'm a little bit molded by you and listening to your podcast, but DeAndre Hopkins this year may not be good with Osweiler at the helm. Osweiler could suck.
Listen, Brian Hoyer sucked.
And that defense is good enough that they keep the scores relatively close, that they can continue to give the ball to Lamar Miller. I think Miller could be good this year.
A lot of people would agree with you on that exact take, I think. I just don't think Lamar Miller, A, I don't think he's going to hold up, and I don't think he is as skilled as some people like to think. I think Hopkins is just safe for so many targets.
I think you have Mike Evans too high.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
That just seems way too high.
When we talk about the situation again, he and Alshon Jeffrey kind of fall into the same camp where who else are they throwing to? No one. They don't have a good defense. They're going to be throwing all the time. He only scored 3 touchdowns last year. That number's going up this season.
Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy. Like, he could be in the neighborhood. He reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins from last year, mm-hmm. where there's a guy that...
Except DeAndre Hopkins is, like, 5'11", and...
That's not true.
Mike Evans is, like, 6'5".
DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is, like, 6'2". He's a big dude.
Really? I thought he was small.
No, he's a big dude.
I always felt that he was always small.
No. But
he's... I'm gonna look that up afterwards.
Yeah, you can Google it.
All right.
The way that it kind of goes, though, is that there's no one else there. Like, Vincent Jackson is decrepit at this point.
He is. I always thought of Mike Evans as kind of like upgraded Vincent Jackson. And actually, Vincent Jackson used to be super, super dominant at one point.
Yeah, that was like a decade ago.
Then who do they have? They have Austin Seferian Jenkins as their tight end.
As their tight end, who you want to talk about a guy that never plays. He's a guy that never plays.
And he's like massive, though, 6'8".
Yeah, they have a team of basketball players. They throw to Charles Sims out of the backfield, but the way that it breaks down, if they have to throw a lot, like he could challenge 200 targets. And if that's the case, then I want to take Mike Evans. Like, I think he's pretty good to begin with. Yeah, he's got drop problems, but I think that the numbers come back up in the red zone a little bit. I think there's going to be a ton of catches. I think there's going to be a ton of yardage. And the best thing is...
They have anybody else there at this point? No?
No. It's just him. Yeah. They have Vincent Jackson. He was like 98 years old.
And Jameis was better as a rookie than people expected him to be. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that he gets better in his
second constantly kind of continued to get better over the course of the season, too.
Jameis is a good guy to pick if, like, you wait on quarterback. Like, really wait. In, like, a 10-team league, probably not. But if you're playing, like, 12 or 14 or you draft a backup, I think he would be fine. But with Evans, and this is the big thing that I keep telling everyone, is you got to understand where these guys are going in draft. So I have Evans ranked as number 5 overall. But he is going towards the middle or back end of the second round, early third round. Like that, you can take A.J. Green if you get pick 5, and then your next pick, just take Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that I think that people overlook and need to understand a little bit when they're trying to use the rankings. I love Mike Evans. I want to have him on every team. If I can get more value, I'll risk not having him.
I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of guys here that I would draft over Brandon Cooks.
Tell me.
I'd draft Keenan Allen, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, Ezekiel Elliott, even though he's completely untested. Demaryius Thomas, maybe even Amari Cooper.
Don't like Brandon Cooks?
I've just never been impressed by him. He just seems like kind of like a big, like a flashy big play guy.
I think they just throw to him enough by the line of scrimmage. And again, these are PPR rankings.
Yeah.
That I just think every week that he's going to have 5, 6, 7 catches and Some weeks it's going to be for like 77 yards, but he does have that ability to break the big play that sometimes you're going to hit really big on them. And if he can get downfield a little bit, which he showed towards the second half of last year, he's going to be fine.
I think it's just one of those things that like the hype was so big on him coming in as a rookie that he didn't live up to that hype.
He did in the
second
half.
And now my mind has...
Your mind has made its opinion on Brandon Cooks?
That he's a bust.
Yeah, maybe so.
Obviously, I don't watch any tapes, so... Oh, T.Y., why is T.Y. below Brandon Cooks? T.Y.'s the man.
T.Y.'s all right, but he's ultra inconsistent.
Yeah. Like he's the same type of player. He's like a big play kind of guy.
Yeah, but
he doesn't get the
short reception volume that Cooks is going to get.
Luck's going to be good this year, though, isn't he?
Yeah, Luck's going to be good. Hilton's going to be good. Moncrief's going to be good. Philip Dorsett might play a role. Like, there's a lot of guys there. At least in New Orleans, while there too is a lot of guys, it seems like Cook has established himself as at least the reception monster.
Yeah.
And then everything else is sort of upside with him. And, I mean, if Hilton gets passed by Moncrief this year in fantasy scoring, I'm not going to be stunned. I don't think it happens, but that's definitely on the table. Like, I don't see Willie Snead passing Brandon Cooks as the top receiver in New Orleans.
Matt Jones?
I like Matt Jones.
Seems kind of high.
He's the guy in Washington. Washington has a pretty decent offense. And
it's true.
Almost like you said with Gurley earlier, that they're just going to turn around and give the guy the ball over and over. Like, Matt Jones seems to be that guy in Washington.
But they throw the ball a lot.
They do, but the fact that they can still get up in games and run the ball and be effective and actually move into the red zone for scores is probably a nice boon in his favor there. He clearly doesn't have the talent of Todd Gurley.
Matt Jones just feels like a
scrub.
He just feels like the guy that you pick up off the waiver wire. Not like spend your like third or fourth round pick on.
You get him in like the sixth round.
Is that how many we are down that list? It looks pretty high.
No, I have him, I think, at like 41 or 39 or something. He's going in fifth, sixth round.
12 team league.
Yeah.
Beginning of the fourth.
These
round.
Aren't ADPs. These are my rankings.
So yeah, I know.
So you don't need to take him there. You can wait.
I bet you nobody's taking him that early.
No, they aren't.
Okay. Probably more like 6th, 7th round kind of thing.
Yeah, 5th, 6th, 7th, depending on when running backs start to go in the size of your league. But I think he's fine.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
And again, if you're going to go with a lot of receivers at the top, he's one of the running backs that keeps falling down. Like, I keep getting him and Arian Foster and Deion Lewis and Jonathan Stewart.
Now I'm having fun just kind of looking at the bottom of your list here.
Okay.
Kenyon Barner thought he was dead.
Apparently, he's now like Ryan Matthews' backup in Philadelphia.
Really?
He's on that backup tier.
He was the Oregon running back, yeah. Right? Did he hurt his leg or something? Or did he get injured? Is that what happened?
I don't really remember.
He seemed to have dropped off the face of
the earth. He returned two kicks for touchdowns last preseason and then did nothing.
I lost track of him for sure. Isaiah Crowell, I know that you've always been a longtime hater of him, but very good reason to. Jermaine Kearse, sneaky late there, because when he's on, he's on. And that's super, super late down the board.
It is.
He's a decent flyer, I think.
Yeah, Meany and I actually just talked about Jermaine Kearse, that he's playing the two wide receiver sets over Tyler Lockett right now when they only have two wide receivers on the field. The problem is, in the one kind of crappy thing about all of these Seattle receivers is that you never know what week they're going to show up.
It's true. Well,
You remember the good weeks.
I remember the big week where he won me a whole bunch of DFS money. You had called it, and I put Kearse on it. He wasn't doing anything, and then that second half, he had like two touchdowns and like 180 yards. Like, it was insane.
I think that, I mean, I would take him late in these drafts,
yeah.
But I think he's more like of a DFS guy than a guy you want
to
start
week to week, good matchups.
Yeah,
where against a team that
can take
out
a number one.
Yeah, that doesn't do well against number twos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. He wouldn't be a bad late pick. Laquon Treadwell, what happened?
He's the rookie in Minnesota.
Is he rookie? Okay. The Minnesota guy. I thought I recognized the name. CJ Procise, Notre Dame guy.
So you're definitely going to take him?
What's his situation now? He's with the Seahawks?
Yeah, he appears to be the third down pass catching back on the Hawks.
Yeah, so that's not very good.
So in PPR leagues.
You're hoping that Rawls gets hurt.
PPR leagues, maybe. But if Rawls gets hurt, it seems to go to Michael.
Michael's not doing anything.
Probably. But Procyte's role seems to be like the Darren Sproles-y type player.
Okay.
I like Sproles, by the way, for PPR leagues. I think he's going to be good this year.
Sproles?
Yeah, I think he's going to do more than he did last year.
He always kind of does more than anybody actually thinks that they will, though.
Yeah.
It's been like since his earlier days with the Saints. Like,
or even in San Diego.
everyone just has assumed that like he's dropped off the face of the planet. But then when you actually look at his stats and like game in game, like he's actually a really, really good player still. So what else we got here? Anything else is jumping. I've seen a lot of the fantasy nerds talking about Tyler Boyd. What's up with that guy?
Tyler Boyd's all right.
Yeah, what's his situation?
There's no one else in Cincinnati besides AJ Green.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's going to take that Marv Jones
role? Marvin Jones and Sanu are gone. Eifert's hurt. They brought in LaFell. He's already hurt. So it's AJ Green and no one else. He's all just right. The other guy there. So you'd have to think that
Are they all gone for the rest? Like, what's
no,
their...
No, Jones is gone. Sanu is gone. They're on different teams. Eifert looks to be hurt for the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. And LaFell has, like, a hand injury. And he's no good. So that helps, too.
So draft Boyd late and try to trade him?
I wouldn't say try to trade him. I just keep him. Like, people aren't going to give you, unless he, like, completely explodes, and then you get into the fact, like, oh, man, this guy's really good. I got to keep him.
And then once you hear it's like, oh, well, LaFell's a couple weeks out. Eifert's a couple weeks out.
Eifert a couple weeks out scares me more than LaFell.
Yeah.
But I think they do a lot of different things. Like, Eifert is just kind of a red zone magnet, where Boyd is someone that between the 20s, almost kind of like Cooks, where they're going to give him a few short passes. He's a big playmaker. He's a little dude. He's really fast, good in space. And that he could be like a 6-for-66 guy, 7-for-77, in the hopes that he can break one of them, get up the field, and turn that 7-for-77 into 70-for-131 and a touchdown. But a good floor every week, especially in PPR.
Why do you hate Gary Barnidge so much?
I don't hate Gary Barnidge. He's my number...
Seems like you hate him.
He's like my number 11 tight end.
He's pretty far down this list.
Yeah, I think you can pretty much wait and take tight ends.
You don't like him very much. Jay Ajayi, who...
Jay Ajayi, Foster took his job.
Yeah, so... Okay, so you're just hoping Foster gets hurt. He's one of those late guys.
Yeah, he's one of the late guys. Somebody gets hurt. Yeah, in all likelihood, if you're going to bank on a guy getting hurt, Arian Foster's not a bad bet.
Is Dorrell Green Beckham going to be a stud?
He just got traded to the Eagles.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
This week. See, there you go.
I missed that.
Yeah, so now he's in that mix with everyone else in Philly. Who knows, man? I love the talent, but he's going late. If you want to pick him the last round, he'll be there.
He's a troubled soul, isn't he?
He sure is.
Because, like, he has all of the physical components of being a complete stud wide receiver, and that's why people get so excited about him. But if the Tennessee Titans' young team are trading him away in this situation, like...
Hey, they needed...
He's obviously...
They needed a swing guard, all right?
He's obviously... a cancer in the locker room. Nothing else is really jumping out at me. Bunch of these guys. Well, I guess what's this? So Marcus Wheaton, I guess, is up here because
Bryant's out.
Yeah, Martavis Bryant is out for the year.
And people are like,
what is that for?
Drugs.
Like hard drugs?
I don't know, probably weed.
Just weed or?
I don't know what it was for.
What's going on with Josh Gordon right now?
He's suspended the first four games. He'll be back.
Okay, so I last year at the end of the season in my keeper league, I picked up Josh Gordon off of the waiver wire.
I did that one of mine too.
Do I hold on to him?
What round do you get to keep him in?
You get to keep three players.
Well, who are the guys you could potentially keep over him? I guess is the better question.
I'm trying to think of who exactly I have on my team.
Well, if you can't remember anyone good, I'm going to say yes, keep him.
I know I have Amari Cooper.
So I'd keep Cooper ahead of Josh Gordon.
Because like Cooper would be kind of like on the...
He could break out and be a wide receiver one.
Like how good is Cooper going to be in the next 5 years?
Does he
have like top five potential?
Yeah, I think he does have top five potential. I'm not a big believer, but I'm crazy to say that he doesn't have that potential.
Yeah, I've got a lot of... Look, I wish I might. I gotta yell at my commissioner. We gotta get this thing rolling.
So you can know who's on your team.
So I can know who's on my team. Because I know I have like five players, and Josh Gordon's in that bit of five. And then there's actually an option that you don't have to keep three. You can keep only two, and then you get bumped up to the top of the board.
Oh.
But then other people get bumped up to the top of the board, and so it's based on seeding. Right, so if you're like I can probably get a better like if you're a bottom feeder and your team has a bunch of garbage players, it's better to actually only keep one or two
and get the draft
and get yourself draft picked because other people have like 6-7 players that are better than the players that you're trying to keep.
Yeah, we had that going on in our league this year. Actually, A-Raps is in the league. He actually has Devonta Freeman in the eighth round. It's a pretty decent keeper. He also drafted Chris Matthews in the third round last year. Like a champion, didn't you? Made the playoffs, though, because he picked up Freeman.
He'll have Kenyon Barner.
Oh, for sure. Second round pick, probably. But I kind of sold out to win the season last year, and I have, like, no keepers. And, like, some people have way too many. Someone has, like, Mike Evans in the 12th round. They have Beckham in the 6th round. Like, it's all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Going in, you're just like, oh, how am I going to beat this?
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah, you can figure it out midseason. Or you can just tank this year, build up for next year, and then go all in.
Absolutely.
All right, Paul Shaughnessy, you can check him out on the Bachelor in Paradise recap show and on Bookie Beatdown. I feel like that's what you're more known for. You just finished your 100th episode.
I'm a man of many traits, Pat.
So you can follow Paul on Twitter at Paul Shag, or you can go to the Fight Network YouTube page and check out Bookie Beatdown, UFC 202 this weekend. 100th episode, you get to shoot it in the big studio. What was it like shooting in the studio, a full-length show?
It's a little bit different because you're not staring at...
No, you're staring to the camera. You're doing this move. You put it on my one for a second. Are we on my one? So it's like, yeah, that's right, Paul. I also think that you're doing that move.
So then while Cody, like my co-host, is doing that, I'm kind of looking... I'm looking at him, but I don't want to interject because he's not actually looking at me, if that makes any sense.
No, that's...
Because usually it's just me and him.
Going back
He'll
and forth.
He'll say something, and then I'll, like, cut him off and criticize his train of thought. Not always, but it's a lot more conversational, whereas I'd be like, so what do you think about this? And he'd be like, well, I blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
It's 6-second setup question, minute and a half, hot take.
That's what TV is, though.
It is. This is more fun, though.
I agree.
I think people enjoy it more when it's in here and not in the studio.
Sounds a lot
enough.
Better, too. Most of this stuff.
It's a very hollow sound when you're in the studio.
Yeah.
As opposed to in here where it sounds very full. Except for when I do it with Cody because he talks like this. So my mic has to be super turned up.
It was really hollow.
Yeah.
The audio that they set up on me, we need some new microphones in there.
Yeah, well, I'm not the one who approves this stuff.
If anybody's listening.
I can guarantee you. No one is I'm Pat Mayo. You can follow me at the PME on Twitter. Remember, subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes and check out the complete 2016 Fantasy Football Draft Kit up right now. You can find it all for free and on demand at facebook.com/the PME. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.